During stewardship season a few years ago, a man was asked to share his personal stewardship testimony at his church. With a humble tone, this man recounted how when he was young and struggling, he'd worked hard to save up $5,000. When his church announced that it needed a new roof, this man decided to give everything, all $5,000 he had, to his church. He said he believed in his heart that's what he was called to do. As the years passed, this man started a business and became incredibly successful and wealthy. And he believed that that one-time gift was the cause of his lifetime of plenty and prosperity. That, he said in conclusion, is why I am here where I am today. God blessed me because of my generosity, because I chose to give all my life savings to the church. This congregation sat in silence, moved by this man's words, and then a woman way in the back of the church stood up and quietly said, "I dare you to do it again." I dare you to do it again. When we look at the teachings of Jesus, one thing becomes clear. He is constantly challenging us and frequently talks about the call to live and practice generosity. Today in the gospel reading, we heard about a young man who wanted to know how he could guarantee his place in heaven, how he could lock down eternal life. This story is one of the better known stories of the New Testament, appearing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all three of the synoptic gospels. And I'm sure it's recorded in so many places in the New Testament because the gospel writers wanted to make sure that we would hear it every year during stewardship season, which is coincidentally now. When we look at the image of this man as he's portrayed in these three different gospels, we begin to get a pretty comprehensive picture of him. Both Matthew and Mark describe him as having many possessions, and Luke tells us that he was a very wealthy ruler. In short, he was rich, he was powerful, he was well respected. Some scholars, when they piece this picture together, actually many scholars think he was part of the Sanhedrin, the highest religious and judicial body in Hebrew society. In other words, he had a seat at the table of power, and his decisions impacted the lives of those around him in his community. Obviously, this man was driven and ambitious. He didn't gather many possessions or become very wealthy by working half-time or just skating by in life. To be part of the religious elite, he had to be well-educated. He probably knew numerous foreign languages. He probably studied the sciences and studied history. And he had obligations that were mind-boggling. To have a place in society with such enormous wealth, he'd be expected to marry well and to get a house with a white picket fence and manage an estate and be a significant contributor in his society, probably eventually serving as the president of the Chamber of Commerce. So when this man approached Jesus, asking how he could secure or assure eternal life, he was probably expecting Jesus to tell him, you know, move towards a tithe, that's the biblical standard, or increase your pledge, or raise some money for the Hebrew Heart Association. But instead, Jesus replied, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me. In other words, Jesus was saying, you have kept all the commandments since your youth. You have made such great sacrifices out of your love of God. I dare you to do it again. I dare you to do it again. When we think about the words of Jesus, it's not only an invitation for this one man, but an invitation for each of us to consider, what are we willing to give up What are we willing to do to build up God's kingdom here and now, today, in this city? Yvonne Chouinard is the founder of Patagonia, one of the biggest companies in the outdoor industry. He built this company from a garage business designing mountain climbing gear to a multi-billion dollar outdoor clothing company. Yvonne's childhood was anything but easy. He grew up during the Great Depression. His father was a gruff and tough man who provided little emotional warmth for his children and expected them to also be resilient and tough. Yvonne's upbringing instilled in him a gritty work ethic and a relentless determination to overcome any challenges in his path. Growing up in Southern California, Yvonne found refuge in the rugged outdoors. Nature was not only a source of joy for him, but it was also a means of escaping the pressures of his home life. Climbing California's mountains became his lifeline. Yvonne, however, couldn't afford the expensive climbing gear sold in the stores, so he taught himself blacksmithing and started crafting his own climbing equipment. His blacksmithing soon grew into this business that he called Patagonia. For Yvonne, Patagonia wasn't just a business, it was a passion for him. Yvonne's personal life mirrored the intensity of his professional life. He married his wife, Melinda, in 1971, and together they faced the challenges of growing a business while also raising two children. For Yvonne, family trips often doubled or blurred with business trips. He would take the family camping while also testing out new gear for Patagonia. Their life, however, wasn't without its struggles. In the late 1980s, Patagonia faced a financial crisis, and Yvonne was forced to lay off 20% of his staff. This setback forced him to rethink his strategy and his priorities for his company. He began to make Patagonia a leader in environmentally responsible business practices. His relentless work ethic and his willingness to continually look to take the high road ensured that Patagonia would stand for something greater. The question for so many of us is, after we spend so much time accumulating and working to build up wealth and status and reputation and resources, is whether we can hold this a little loosely. You see, for many of us, like Yvonne, what we've worked for symbolizes years of effort and careful intentionality and planning. And we face the question, can we hold our possessions loosely enough that we can let some of them go? The fourth century theologian Gregory of Nyssa said, "It is not for ourselves alone that we are born. Rather, our lives are meant to be a source of joy for others." Gregory saw generosity as a fundamental way for us to align our lives with Christ, Christ who gave everything out of his love for humanity. And isn't that the invitation that Jesus is offering to this rich young man? Isn't that the invitation for us also? Are you willing to use your life, your wealth, your possessions, your influence, your wisdom, to benefit others, to build up God's kingdom, to serve your neighbor? You see, Yvonne Chouinard had many of the same traits as the rich young man we read about today. First, Yvonne was well-respected and powerful. He built Patagonia into one of the most respected companies in the outdoor industry and reshaped an industry as he did so through ethical business practices and innovation. Second, Yvonne was driven and ambitious. From his early days when he forged his own mountain climbing equipment because he couldn't afford to buy it at the store, to his relentless pursuit of business growth, Yvonne's life was marked by determination. And finally, with Yvonne's wealth and power came great obligations. Great obligations to his family, to his employees, to his customers, to his community. By 2022, Patagonia was worth $3 billion. And Yvonne began to hear a voice whispering to him in the back of his head, reminding him of his childhood when he didn't have two nickels to rub against each other, when he didn't find his identity in his wealth or his accomplishments, but instead found joy and delight in his love of nature and his commitment to the environment. And this voice in the back of Yvonne's head began to whisper, "I dare you to do it again." In September of 2022, Yvonne made the decision to give away Patagonia, a company worth billions. Driven by a commitment to environmental responsibility, Yvonne transferred the ownership of this company, essentially giving away his life's work, to a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting the environment. When asked about his decision, Yvonne said, "Earth is now our only shareholder." Yvonne believed that true wealth was found in serving something larger than ourselves. True wealth is found in what we give away, not what we cling to. Or as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now in this stewardship season, there are not many of us that have $3 billion companies that we can give away. As a sidebar, if you do own a company that you want to give away, I'd be happy to tell you about how $3 billion would be put to good use here at the cathedral. But the reality is that not many of us are even in a position to give away all that we have and give it to the poor. And the truth is that may not be exactly what Jesus is asking of each of us. Jesus made this request specifically of the young rich ruler because his love of wealth was the barrier between him and everything that he really wanted in life: spiritual purpose and joy and meaning and eternal life and peace. What we all are being asked is to generously use our wealth or our power or our influence or whatever God has given us to serve God's people, to further God's purposes in the world, to build up God's kingdom. We're invited to think about our greatest moments of generosity, the moments you made a great sacrifice, the moments we stretched our giving. Do you have a moment like that, your greatest moment of generosity? Think about it for a second. Was there a time in your life when you felt called or you were asked to give a little more than you were comfortable giving and you chose to do it anyways? What was that moment in your life? Because the challenge Yvonne heard and the challenge posed to the rich young ruler is also the challenge posed to each of us this day. I dare you to do it again. I dare you to do it again. Amen.